Alrighty, we continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on TBS Sports Radio. So going back to last year, here was your wild card weekend in the NFL. You had Seahawks up against the 49ers. You had the Chargers up against the Jaguars. The Dolphins up against the Bills. The Giants up against the Vikings. The Ravens up against the Bengals. And you had the Cowboys up against the Buccaneers. And waiting there with a bye were the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC. And then in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills. So let's go team through team. Well, we could stop the conversation on the Bengals, the Eagles, and also the Chiefs, right? All three of those teams, it would have to be a catastrophe this year for one of those three teams to miss the playoffs. So it's probably not even worth it, Hickey, to discuss the Eagles, the Bengals, and then also the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
I don't know. Eagles, missing the playoffs. Okay, fine. I tried.
Wah, wah, wah. So let's go through the wild card weekend teams outside of the Bengals, because the Bengals are definitely going to make the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks. I have the Seahawks making the playoffs once again. I think there's too much talent on the offensive side of the ball. Pete Carroll is a top five, top seven coach in the NFL. I think he's a top five coach. I know there's some fear about regression with Geno Smith, but in a crappy NFC, I just think it's going to be really tough for them to miss the postseason.
I will say no. I don't think they get him.
Because of Geno.
Because of Geno.
All right. 49ers, locked to make the playoffs. Even if they don't have great quarterback play this year, we've seen them survive the QB carousel before and find a way to go to pretty damn good heights, where it seems like each and every year, bare minimum, they wake up in the NFC title game. All righty, the Chargers. Crowded AFC. Not going to win that division because Kansas City's going to win it as long as number 15 is healthy. You just paid Justin Herbert a five-year, $262.5 million deal with 215 in total guarantees. Since the Chargers are going to be a wild card team and not thought of as a division team, they get thrown in the hopper of those really dominant AFC teams, and not everyone can get in. You only have three spots for wild card teams. I just think there's too much talent there with guys like Herbert and Eckler. And you add in Quentin Johnston, and you have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, Derwin James, Joey Bosa, J.C. Jackson, even though I think he's more a product of the Belichick system on defense. J.C. Jackson, you got to think, is going to be somewhat good as long as he's healthy for the Chargers this year. And you also still have Khalil Mack, too. I look at that Chargers team as a team that will make the playoffs, but I think it will be close because of the Chargers, and also the AFC is absolutely loaded.
I do not think they're going to make it.
Wow.
Paying Justin Herbert will result in going home after week 18.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, I think they'll make it because of their division.
I will say lock.
And also, I think they're a good team. Like, I don't want to just poo-poo it because of the division. They should be a double-digit win team, bare minimum. The Dolphins. I think we're going to see the Dolphins win the AFC East. I'll save you my thoughts on the Bills. I do have the Jets in the playoffs this year. And remember, the Jets did not make the playoffs last year, so I have to eliminate one of these AFC wildcard teams, and I've not done so with the Chargers. Oh, you look at the Dolphins, I have them winning the AFC, so therefore they're in the playoffs. But I got to cut one of these AFC teams out. So it's not going to be Miami. Do you think the Dolphins regress this year?
No, I think they make the playoffs. I don't like the fact that I'm banking on Tua being healthy.
But everyone's saying he's not going to be able to make it through the year.
And I think for right reasons, because he hasn't been able to so far. And I'm very concerned with one head injury in week one. It could be all over.
Could be career ending.
So I don't love the fact that, I mean, they have a lot of talent, obviously, elsewhere, but if they don't have two, I don't think they have a chance to make the playoffs for a full season. I'm going to bank that he's healthy this season. They're going to make the playoffs.
Buffalo Bills. I have them not winning the AFC East after winning, what, 3 years in a row? I'm pretty sure. Right? 2019 was Brady's last year. 2020, 2021, 2022. Yep. There you go. 3 years in a row for the Buffalo Bills. I don't have them winning the division this year. I'm going Miami, but the Bills will definitely make the playoffs. And yes. I would not be shocked whatsoever if the Bills win the AFCs.
Bills in the playoffs, without a doubt.
Giants. I think the Giants are going to miss. I like this regime with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. I thought Joe Shane defeated Saquon Barkley today, which he's still getting $10 million a year. But I thought that was a really savvy move by Joe Shane when a lot of public was saying, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this before that July 17th deadline. And the fact that you got Saquon Barkley in camp is just a win for the Giants. It doesn't really make sense for Saquon Barkley. The thing that concerns you with the Giants is they exceeded any expectation that they had last year. There was no expectation for the Giants. So they went above and beyond last year and then some. I don't think the Giants will be a disaster this year because I trust the GM and I trust the coach. But I do think they fall back just a little bit because even though they added in Darren Waller, you have Saquon Barkley back, but there is health concerns with him always. They don't have a number one wide receiver, and that's still troubling for me. And kind of what you saw with the Patriots 2 years ago, and they have a lot more competent offensive coaches than what Mac Jones had to deal with last year, but you had Mac Jones make the playoffs, and I know it's not year one for Daniel Jones, but in year one for him. And then the next year he regressed. I think you see some of those regressions this year with the Giants, and they just miss out on the playoffs.
Especially now that the word is out on Daniel Jones and what he can do well. And now I'm interested to see how he adjusts, because you know defenses are going to adjust and really try to take away that running game, especially. Not that Brian Daboll can't adjust because he's one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. But like I said, the wide receivers are very concerning. Saquon Barkley's health is a question mark, although I'm still getting the benefit of the doubt, but it is a question mark. I don't like the talent a lot on this team. I'm with you. I think the Giants miss the playoffs.
I'm going to pick the Vikings to still make the playoffs this year. Are you out on the Vikings, who had 13 wins last year? I'm not saying they're going to win 13 games this year. I think that's crazy, but I still think even with some regression, they'll still find a way to make the playoffs.
I'm with you 100%. They're not going to win 13 games. They're going to regress down, but even regressing down, 9 wins, 10 wins, still definitely going to get you in the playoffs in the NFC. Still a lot of talent there. You bring Brian Flores in to be your DC. I like that a lot. I'm with you, Vikings in the playoffs.
And they got to find a way to get that defense to be average. That defense has been god-awful. You know, Ben Lieber got annoyed with me when he was on the air with us last, and I was like, yeah, that defense hasn't been good. He's like, Zach, hasn't been good. They've been terrible. And that's a guy that gets paid by the Minnesota Vikings as one of their radio analysts. The Baltimore Ravens. Can the Ravens make the playoffs? Absolutely. Lamar hasn't been healthy the last 2 years, and we saw them make the playoffs last year and almost win that game up against the Bengals, even with Tyler Huntley, where the Bengals won 24-17, and Huntley thought he was like Air Jordan, Michael Jordan, at the goal line, which I still can't believe when he fumbled that football. But there's only 3 playoff teams in the wild card. I have the Bengals winning that division. I value the teams more in the AFC East right now, and I'm still going to put the Chargers in, so I will say that the Ravens missed the playoffs this year.
Ravens, Chargers, both pay their quarterbacks this offseason. I think both are going to still miss the playoffs. Not a one on Baltimore. A lot of questions. They don't make it.
Bengals, we already talked about, are definitely in. Cowboys will still get in. I have Tampa Bay missing the playoffs. I know that you have the Bengals in. Cowboys, I'm assuming you're still saying they're going to make the playoffs, even though we don't believe they go make a Super Bowl.
In.
And you've been bullish on Tampa Bay. You went all in on Baker Mayfield last year, said he was going to be a wild card weekend quarterback. And he's a top 5 quarterback in the NFC. And even someone that was a big supporter of the Carolina Panthers the last few years, I laughed at that. Bucks made the playoffs last year. I think they're in a rude awakening, even though they have a talented roster in some areas. You lose Tom Brady. You only had 8 wins with Tom Brady. I don't trust Baker Mayfield. The Bucks will miss the playoffs.
We'll see Baker Mayfield in a home playoff game in January. Bucks win the NFC South, back in the playoffs.
Can we make a bet here?
What do you want to bet?
You go Baker stash if the Buccaneers do not make the playoffs.
Okay, fine.
Wow.
I'll go the Baker porno stash from like the dark 2021 days. Where I think, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it like in-game, or maybe that was another time where he shaved his beard like in-game because he was struggling like during halftime? So I don't know if it was one or the other, but I will go the Baker awful mustache if he is at home and not in the playoffs.
Okay. And I'll buy you dinner if the Buccaneers make the playoffs.
Okay, let's go. Now Baker, come on.
Now you owe me a dinner still, which you could have
I could have got the burger.
You could have got the burger. I got burger and broccoli tonight. That was about it.
Hell of a combo.
Yeah, the broccoli was a side. You know, that's how you know I'm watching what I eat these days. Well, I'm also going to have a gluttonous
beach season's still here, so.
Oh, yeah.
Another month.
Yeah. You'll probably confuse me with a whale or two at the beach or something like that. But
Maybe a dolphin. Dolphins have been popular.
Yeah, but this is
gonna, in the Atlantic Ocean.
This is going to be a gluttonous next few days because I'm off Thursday and Friday. Got all my reservations going to the Jersey Shore. So I'm trying to be careful what I eat. Like when we were talking about the burger and we came up with this, I was like a little hesitant at first because I didn't want to down a burger, but it was only an English muffin and an 8 ounce patty. So I think I'll be okay.
That maybe was not even 8 ounces. So there you go.
It was definitely 8 ounces. Just because you had crappy push-up form and my mother criticized your form, don't criticize the push-up, the burger.
A little on the smaller side. If we weighed it, would it be closer to 7, 6.5, or 8?
And you're happy I had a lot of burger in my mouth when I was doing this because I wanted to go through the other side of the glass and smack you around your head when you're commenting on the size of the burger when I'm trying to down this burger.
I'm just giving the audience the realistic perspective of what I'm seeing. Like, I am the only eyes and ears for the audience that they have right now in this challenge because, like I said, you are just garvoning the burger in 90 seconds or less, which you did a great job at. So I'm just trying to paint the realistic picture. I'm not pro-Gelb. I'm not anti-Gelb. I am someone who's right down the middle, who is just calling as they see it and let the audience make their own judgments.
What did you say?
Garvoning.
Is that a word?
Oh, yeah. Garvone.
Isn't it? I don't think there's a V in it. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think there is. I couldn't spell it for you.
How do you think that's spelled?
I have no idea. I think it's an Italian word, so I mean, I'm sure it's not spelled anywhere near the way you think.
If you just had to take a guess.
I mean, G-A-R-V-O-N-E, right? V-O-N-E.
Say that one more time.
G-A-R-V-O-N-E.
Okay, that's how I typed it in. And then it came up as G-A-D-R-O-O-N-I-N-G.
Gavone. I put an R in there. I'm sorry. Gavone.
Oh, I've never even heard this word. Because when I, whatever, gadruning or whatever this is, it's...
What?
With elaborately carved or...
You're in the
molding.
Wrong area.
Yeah, so that's not the right
Gavone.
Word.
Gavone.
How do you spell it?
G-A-V-O-N-E.
G-A-V-O-N-E.
You okay. Gavone.
You figure out a new word each and every day. Look at that. So right now, your playoff teams, as we just do this at training camps opening around the league July 25th, not set in stone predictions, but you would think for the most part, barring a big injury, they would stay the same. Your AFC East winner, I'm going Miami. You're going?
I'll still go Buffalo. That's the one I don't feel great about, but I'll stick with the Bills.
AFC North, I'm taking the Bengals. You're taking the Bengals as well. The South, Jaguars.
Yes.
Chiefs in the West.
Chiefs.
So my three wild card teams in the AFC right now, Miami, and no, excuse me, in no order, Buffalo, the Jets, and the Chargers. So my seven playoff teams, Buffalo, Miami, in no order, Jets, Bengals, Jaguars, Chiefs, Chargers. Your three wild card teams, I know you like the Cleveland Browns this year, right?
Cleveland Browns are
and
one.
And the Broncos.
Denver Broncos are another. And the Miami Dolphins,
ooh,
playoff team as well.
Those are some ugly colors for Wild Card Weekend.
Wait,
the Cleveland Browns.
The Browns uniforms are beautiful.
The Denver Broncos.
Have you seen
the
Broncos' new white helmets they released today?
Eh.
Oh, my God. I think, if anything, those are going to be three tremendous. Well, maybe the Dolphins. I'm not a big fan of the Dolphins' uniforms, unless they go back to the retro look. But, I mean, they go back to the retro look. You were talking about three beautiful uniforms.
I love Browns fans.
Those uniforms are great. Browns are top three uniforms in the NFL.
I do have a Browns uniform, actually.
From like Pee Wee?
No. A friend of mine used to work on the Tide campaign.
Okay.
And they sent out Tide jerseys. So I have an enormous, this is when I'm a little bit larger, a just ginormous number one Cleveland Browns jersey. On the back, it says Tide on it.
Is it the older jersey they had in like 2019, 2020, that like that ugly rebrand? Or is it like a new...
No,
the
it's
new
old.
Throwbacks.
It's old. It's like
so
a few
the
years
Baker
old.
Mayfield.
Yeah.
Ugh, those are disgusting.
Yeah, it Yikes. Is a big brown jersey. NFC East, Eagles winning.
Eagles.
NFC North. You know what? I'm still going with the Vikings.
I'll take the Lions.
NFC South, I'm taking the Falcons.
Buccaneers.
NFC West, we're both going the 49ers.
Niners.
My three wild card teams. In the NFC, and I know this is going to annoy one fan base, and I apologize because I love this fan base, and I hope they make the playoffs this year. The three wild card teams, I am taking the Dallas Cowboys. I am taking the Seattle Seahawks in order. And then I'm going with the Green Bay Packers. I do not have the Detroit Lions in the playoffs this year. I don't feel good about that one. I want them to make the playoffs. But everyone's just assuming the Lions are going to win that division. Everyone. And I know Jared Goff played well the last year or two. I like Aiden Hutchinson a lot. I'm just still a little skeptical until I believe it. They played really well down the stretch. I think everyone's too in love with the Lions. Your wild card teams, your three in the NFC?
Dallas Cowboys.
Boo!
Minnesota Vikings.
You like that?
Los Angeles Rams.
Whoa!
They are back, folks.
No, see! Hawks.
Stafford. Ugh. Kupp. Donald.
They're not back.
McVay.
Yeah, who's blocking on that back. Offensive line?
They were banged up last year. They were arguably the most injury-riddled offensive line in the NFL.
Okay.
They were one injury away from you getting the call.
That offensive line.
They are now
still on paper stinks.
Back healthy. Stafford is back. This team, I'm telling you, you're talking under the radar. Nobody is talking about the Rams. Nobody's looking in the Rams' direction.
Yeah, nor should
they're going to sneak into the playoffs. It's a weak NFC. They got the playoff experience. They'll be back.
Outside of Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford, and Cooper Kupp, who are the guys you really like on this team? Just wondering. Outside of those three guys. Okay, I'm talking players. Any other player you like on that roster? Because I'm looking at this roster, and you're going to tell me I need to get excited over Tyler Higbee?
Solid tight ends.
I got to get, who's the guy? Skoranek, whatever the guy's
Ben
name
Skoranek.
Is.
Toasted Van the Raiders Jefferson. Last year. Van Jefferson, solid receiver.
Tutu Atwell, who has some speed. Well, he's small, but he has some speed.
Tutu's like 110 pounds.
Cam Akers, who never wants to be there.
But now, solid when he's healthy.
You're banking on Sony Michel. I know you're going to say, he was the leading rusher for two teams that won a Super Bowl.
Touchdown machine, Sony Michel. Veteran leadership.
What Bobby Wagner did this offseason tells me everything I need to know about what he thinks about the Rams this year. I would be very surprised if the Rams make the playoffs, even in a weak NFC. Because I think there's too many guys there that are 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And once again, that offensive line absolutely stinks. But I'll give you some credit there, Hickey. You're going out on a limb with some of these teams. You're picking the Bucs when no one's picking the Bucs. You're picking the Rams when no one's picking the Rams. And you're supporting the Cleveland Browns this year, which they have a very talented roster, but not a lot of people are supporting the Cleveland Browns heading into this season. And you're doubling down on your Denver Broncos prediction. So those are four teams right there. But I think a lot of people that are listening that are like, some hot takes from Hickster.
Listen, I know I may go too inside baseball here. I apologize. Rob Havenstein, Brian Allen, Joe Noteboom. These are starters on the Super Bowl winning team 2 years ago. This team is good.
No,
people
are
looking at last year when they were banged up all over the place and thinking this team sucks. That ain't the case. They were injured last year. They're healthy this year. You'll see. I'll see you in January.
Okay. Are you done with your TED Talk for today? Your passionate rant about the Rams?
And their offensive line. I am done.
Okay.
Matthew Stafford, see you in January.
Yeah. Can we get Baldy on the phone, Brian Baldinger? And let's ask Baldy what he thinks about the Rams offensive
line. Does he not like the Rams this year?
I don't know.
I would trust Baldinger's evaluation.
I'm just saying. When I hear a high-pitched voice Hickey, who's never known anything about offensive line, tell me how much he loves an offensive line. Like, if it was coming from Baldy, I'd be like, okay, fine.
Three starters on a Super Bowl winning team.
Yeah, you also told me about how this Colts offensive line is so great, and they were highly paid, and they stunk last year.
Well, they had no left tackle and no right guard.
Oh,
and they had a statue back
the excuses.
There. No, I'm saying they played bad. They were bad last year. I'm not saying they were good.
Mm-hmm.
They were bad. The Rams are injured. There's a difference.
If the Rams were in the AFC, would you be making a case for the Rams to make the playoffs?
No, not as much. It's part of it is the NFC's open. Again,
so you're trying to put lipstick on a pig. I'm not telling you it's crazy for them to make the playoffs, but it's amazing how confident you are.
Well, if we're finding a sixth or seventh team in the NFC that we're talking about consistently, that it's a two-team league and no one else is really standing out or impressing, then anyone I name is putting lipstick on a pig at that point. So sure, but I think part of the reason why I'm picking the Rams is it is open. I like their playoff experience.
But no Seahawks.
No Seahawks. I don't trust Geno Smith at all. I'm sorry. Geno had a great year last year. I think it's a one-year wonder, and I'm going to bank on that being true.
I hope Geno Smith wins the MVP this year. He won't, but how great would that be? Geno Smith wins the MVP, and he gets up there at the podium when they give him that MVP at that award ceremony Super Bowl week because they won't be in the Super Bowl, and he just goes, Ryan Hickey wrote me off, but I didn't write back.
No, actually, that would have annoyed me more than me being wrong about Geno in general.
That would be great for your career. Geno Smith mentioning you at the MVP ceremony?
Stupid line out.
That would be great. That'd be awesome for you. Come on, Hickster.
Take it on, Geno. Let's go. Let's go. I'm ready to battle Geno. It's the NFC West battle. Me versus Geno.
Do me a favor.
But me is in the form of Matthew Stafford and the Rams.
So I'm not here Thursday and Friday. You are. Can we get the ball rolling on the Seahawks? Reach out to the Seahawks because I have to be their most vocal advocate this year on the national radio landscape. I remember they gave us Shelby Harris last year, who's no longer on that team. But we got to get someone on from the Seahawks. I like the Seahawks a lot. I'm rooting for the Seahawks.
How about Jamal Adams? You want Jamal Adams on? He'll cut you a promo.
I think he would hang up the phone on me because Jamal Adams does annoy me. So maybe passing Jamal Adams. But like, let's reach out for Bobby Wagner.
You're talking to DK Metcalf and his diet? What candy's eating today?
Yeah, that's fine. I take DK. I love Kenneth Walker. And ask for Geno. Tyler Lockett, who's been on the show before. Jackson Smith and Jigbo. I thought we hit it off during the draft, right before
JSN.
The draft. Yeah. Hey, you go ask for those guys. And just maybe we get one of them on. I dip my toe in the waters of Noah Fant or even Will Dissly.
Even Will
Any of those guys. I like Will Dissly. I had him on Eye on Football.
I was just going to say, he's a friend of the, well, I guess not friend of the show, but he's been on the show.
Yeah, you got to be on at least three times to be a friend of the show. But I just gave you all those names. Maybe Quandre Diggs as well. Or Tariq Woolen. Those 9 or 10 names, the Seahawks have been usually pretty good PR department. They should be able to get us one before the start of the season.
Okay.
That I'm putting that on your plate to get taken care of for when I come back or at some point in August. And we got some college football coaches that we'll talk off the air that we have to circle back before the start of the season. Coming on back, Zach Gelb Show.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's take some calls here. We'll go to Dan in Green Bay next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Danny, what's happening?
Hey, Zach, how are you?
Doing great. What do you got?
Hey, I take great exception to your defense of Michigan. I'm a Big Ten guy. I can't think of a university in the Big Ten that's been more corrupt over the last 35 to 40 years than Michigan. I mean, you can go back to Dr. Ed Martin and the Fab Five, multiple minor violations, and now this. Look, I understand what you're saying in terms of this particular violation, but the rules are the rules, okay? And the NCAA has always gone out of their way not to penalize major name schools like Michigan, like Ohio State, like Texas, like Alabama, like
and the Duke. Only reason they're having a punishment here is because they weren't happy that Harbaugh wasn't truthful with them. So we're punishing them not for a minor infraction, it's because the coach lied.
Well, don't you think that's a good reason to punish them for lying?
4 games? I think that's a bit excessive. For saying, I misremembered about getting a kid a hamburger?
Well, again, he knows the rules. And I mean, the NCAA has always been very hypocritical. I mean,
exactly. They're hypocrites.
But let me give you an example. They don't touch their name schools unless they almost have to. I mean,
do you think they have to here?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they broke the rules. I mean, the University of Wisconsin, I'm a Badger fan. Got lost scholarships in basketball, football, and hockey because players on campus were receiving unadvertised discounts from a local shoe company who the owner wasn't even an alumni of the University of Wisconsin. And by the way, I could walk in to that place and negotiate with them and get it because they bought basically overruns of stock and all this other stuff. You and I could do the same thing the damn athletes were doing, and they literally were brutal to Wisconsin.
So, Dan, here's the part that optically I think it makes the NCAA look bad. And I know that the NCAA did not suspend Urban Meyer and it was the school. But Urban Meyer, with the whole Zach Smith situation where he lied his ass off for a much serious issue here when we're talking about domestic violence, Urban Meyer only got 3 games protecting his guy. But Jim Harbaugh goes out and buys a few kids some burgers and has some coach watching a Zoom, and now he's going to get 4 just because he lied.
You're making a decent point, but I think both of them should be penalized.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, Dan, appreciate it. I think four games is excessive. It's up against four cupcake teams, so it doesn't matter. But everyone's entitled to have a difference of opinion and always enjoy a different opinion on the show. Thanks so much. Let's go to Rich in Chicago next up. Rich, what do you got?
Hey, Zach. I want to talk about your playoff picks, and I like a lot of them, but there's a couple of things that maybe you haven't considered that we've kind of been following here that I think are worth at least consideration. Maybe okay. You change your point of view. My friends and I think the Saints are big favorites in the NFC South.
Yeah.
No one's talking about Carr resurrecting his career.
Well, everyone's picking the Saints to make the playoffs this year. I know I didn't. I know Hickey didn't. I just don't believe in Carr. That's just me.
Okay. The one thing I do want to point out that when you talk about the Giants, they did pick up the Blitnikoff winner at wide receiver, the Hyatt kid from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're as deficient as you might think about the Giants. He's going to be a star. I've seen him for 3 years in the SEC. He's really good.
So I like Jalen Hyatt, and he had a monster year last year, no question. But I'm still outside of Darren Waller, who has injury concerns, and you have Saquon Barkley as well. Maybe Jalen Hyatt turns out to be a great player in the NFL, but predicting wide receivers are very tough. I still don't look at that roster and see a without a doubt number one wide receiver.
I think he's better than you think, but that we'll find out, right? The Jets, I think they're third in the AFC East. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs. They've got the third toughest schedule in the league. They're going to play the AFC West, and they're non-divisional, non-conference. Good luck with that, playing all those guys. If they win, I think best case, and I kind of looked at the schedule, and you can look at it yourself, best case nine games. I don't think nine games gets you a wild card for them. I would fade the Jets. Miami, like you guys talked about, that's my pick in the AFC East. And then you got to take a look at San Diego. I couldn't remember if it was you or Hickey that picked the Chargers. Or maybe
I picked the Chargers.
All right. You got Herbert who lost a 27-0 lead last time you played.
So the guy stinks all of a sudden. So Matt Ryan's an awful quarterback because he choked up a 28-3 lead too, right?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in the playoffs, you really want to trust the guy that's doing that. And you got Staley as one of the most horrible coaches in the NFL.
I don't trust Staley, but they got to the playoffs last year, and that's where I think they'll get to the playoffs again, and then they'll have a shortcoming in the postseason.
All right, let me give you some quick ones, too, up and down, because I think this is going to be really interesting. I think the Vikings are done. They lost too many guys. I think Green Bay isn't going anywhere with Love. Believe it or not, I don't think the Bears are going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be a surprise team. I think you can see 8 or 9 wins out of the Bears, which is going to put pressure on the Lions and the Vikings and the Packers.
Rich, I got to run, but I appreciate it. I can't sit here and preview all 32 teams. The Bears, as calling from Chicago, I don't know if he's a Bear fan or not. They got a lot of work to do, and they put Justin Fields in a better position to succeed, bringing in DJ Moore. We'll see how improved that offensive line is, but I'm not ready to go 8 or 9 games for the Chicago Bears this upcoming season. El Capitan Marco Belletti is standing by. And I know I just asked you this question, and this is going to be really bad. But your new son is Matthew, correct? Am I right on that?
Correct.
I got that? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Hickey and I, we got you a little gift for Matthew. With football season coming up, we think when he's hopefully sleeping on dad's shoulder and chest and watching the football games with you, he will be properly dressed. As we got New York Giants gear, one a traditional New York Giants logo. The other I think you'll like, eat, sleep, drool, and football, which
nice,
hopefully he's not drooling
nice.
Over you when the Giants are happening.
That's all right.
And this one I don't know if you will like because I think you do want him to nap on game day, but this one says, I will not nap on game day.
Very nice. Wow.
So here we go. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm becoming a father again.
I'm
the third
stunned.
Time.
This is very nice of you guys. No. These are always useful. There's a lot of spitting and drooling and disgustingness. So constant, wardrobe change is automatic.
And Hickey and I, we made an intelligent decision here because so many people, right, are getting you 0 to 3 months right now. We I think it's 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, no,
on
yeah.
There.
Which
so.
Again, we'll it'll not yet, but it'll fit perfectly, definitely, and especially during the season.
We wanted to get you something, right? With everyone popping
Thank
out babies here at CBS Sports Radio, their wives popping out babies with Bilotti and the bourbon
bell. I didn't
know
I was setting a trend. I got to be honest, I was unaware.
Well, I was sitting here and I was talking to Hickey and I go, because it was the Bob's Bar show, so I thought it'd be funny with me dressed up as Matt Rhule if I got DA and Bilotti some Nebraska baby gear, because they always like to poke fun at my friendship with Matt Rhule. And I'm like, man, we never got Marco anything. We got to get Marco something.
I appreciate it. I never thought of it. Really, I'm very surprised, but very appreciative. It's nice of you guys. It really is.
During the break, I go into the little studio, little
the closet. You can say it. It's all right. The little closet that I got. Yeah, I'm aware
that Marco prepares diligently for our show to do the last update of the hour. And I'm like, what was your son's name again? I think it starts with them. You're like Matthew, and you looked at me as if you were saying, what the bleep are they up
well,
to?
Well, it's an odd question when you just come racing into the club. Hey, what's your new son's name? What the hell does that mean? Like, Matthew. Yeah.
And I could see why you'd be a little...
I didn't know where we were
going. Out as a parent.
I didn't know where we were going.
Well, I guess when the Debo stuff happened, for some reason, people thought they needed to create like 5 or 6, or maybe it's when my credit card got hacked. I don't know. But someone thought that they needed to create 5 or 6 fake Zach Gelb Instagram accounts. And I found this out over the weekend. I have a lot of friends that love to just Google my name and then send me about it. And a lot of times it's them saying, oh, you're on this Reddit thread getting blasted. Or you're on this, someone's talking about you in this radio show and they're going after you. And they like to bring that up and say, oh, when I went after Ben Roethlisberger with the whole COVID stuff and how he's complaining about their bye week getting taken away. They're like, oh, this guy said you look like Mason Rudolph got stung by a bee. Isn't that hilarious? So my friends love to do that. But one of my friends usually trolls me. I thought that was a good one, too. It's a good job. But, you know, Steelers fans could actually troll. The 49er fans, were all weak. There wasn't anything that was really great outside of them saying my mother should have done something, which I did think was kind of funny. But most of it was pretty lame by the 49ers fans. But I had one of my friends text me. He goes, hey, I know I usually troll you, the word for word. I know I usually troll you when people go after you, but I was searching you the other day to find some of that stuff in the aftermath of the Debo and all that other stuff, and I saw that there was 5 fake Instagram accounts made, and they all have my profile picture, and then like personal pictures, like family pictures, pictures of me and my niece who's 7 months old, me doing a tape, talking to Mike Breen, and I know it's all public and it's out there, but... They really dressed up those fake pages.
The niece and the kids, I don't like. Leave that stuff out. Yeah. Everything else, though, very creative, and I like that. Yes. That's good. I mean, and it's also flattering. I mean, people take the time. They obviously like it.
Yes.
Or they feel another way about you, which is even better. So that's something that they take the time. That's definitely flattering. But take the kids, take that out.
Yeah, kids and families.
Just letting you know. Just take the kids out.
They are
there's a lot of things that are, you know, on the table. Kids, take the kids out.
So I'm sitting there and I'm reporting and blocking the account and all that stuff. And Instagram's like, oh, there's nothing wrong here. I go, what do you mean there's nothing wrong here? The person's pretending to be me. You got Musk and Zuckerberg fighting over the most ridiculous things. And we can't get this person, these 5 or 6 fake Zach Gelbs off.
We got to worry about X and Meta and whatever else nonsense that I don't know about.
So you're on Twitter or X, whatever it's called.
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah, whatever.
You've seen the new logo, right?
I have.
When it just sits there in your browser like that and you see an X, I'm sorry.
Oh, does it? I didn't even realize that.
I think that there's
I'm usually only on it on my phone.
Some lewd website.
Yeah, no, that's not a good look. Musk should be a little bit smarter than that.
If they're going to take away the traditional Twitter logo, they should have found a way to still incorporate the blue bird like somewhere in the X so it's still clear that it's Twitter.
Well, it also doesn't make a lot of sense then because then you're not tweeting anymore. If it's not Twitter, you're not tweeting. So what are you doing? It's just posting?
We're Xing.
I mean,
which sounds like sexing.
It feels like we're reaching for things that, you know, trying to fix things that aren't broken. We're reaching for things that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what the end game is for Elon Musk other than to drive this thing completely into the ground and no one ever uses it again. I feel like that's where we're headed.
I think I still think Twitter will always be around in some capacity, but you're not wrong where like the last few months, ever since he's really taken over, and this guy spent, I know he's worth so much money, but he spent $44 billion on this, and it's as if he spent $44 billion on this just to troll everyone else.
Well, that's what it feels like.
Which
that's what I mean.
To be in a position like that.
Good for you if that's the end game. But yeah. I mean, like you say, well, it's always going to be around. I think MySpace is still somewhere too, right? That doesn't mean anybody actually is on it.
That is fair.
So
I don't even know if my MySpace account
I never had
exists.
One, but I am aware that it was out there. Again, it's just, look, we can all have the issues that we have with it. It was just the idea that it was a place that gave you information quickly, concise, and it was, you knew it was real.
Yeah.
Now we don't know what the hell's going on. I don't even know what the name of it is anymore. It's just kind of like, what exactly are we trying to do? Are we trying to destroy it? Because if you are, good for you that you're trying to destroy your own company. But, you know, let us in on the joke at some point.
Hickey, just a quick question because I don't see it on the cut sheet. So if you don't have it, it's all right. Do you have that Jameis Winston sound by any chance or no? If you don't, it's fine.
I just got to edit it a little bit. So yes and no.
Okay, never mind. Because did you you found that Jameis Winston sound, right?
Yeah, it's in the morning show folder, Hickey, if you want to look for it quick.
Well, we're up against it. So okay. I'm going to play it on the other side. How the heck did you come across that one? Did you just saw that on social media?
Yeah, somewhere. I don't know exactly where I found it.
That was great. Jameis Winston singing.
I don't know why he's singing. I don't know what he's doing. I mean,
guy always.
It's Jameis Winston. Yeah. I don't know where exactly. I mean, that's half of the night I'm scouring for stuff. When did I come across that? I don't know, but I came across it at some point last night.
Well, I'm happy you brought it to our attention because I heard that audio being played this morning, and we'll play it for you next, and we will end the show out in style with the closing bell.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Royals catcher Salvador Perez? He became the 10th catcher in MLB history to hit 200 career home runs as he joined the exclusive club with a two-run shot in the sixth inning in Kansas City's eventual 5-3 win over the Guardians on Monday night. The homer was his 17th on the season. Give Salvador Perez a stock up. Let's hear future American Idol star, Jameis Winston.
Slow motion, slow motion, baby. My baby told me to struggle with your motion, struggle with your motion. Yeah.
That's just amazing. I love that. Give a stock up to Jameis Winston. Jaylen Brown, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but he agreed on a 5-year, $304 million Supermax contract extension with the franchise. That is the richest deal in NBA history. Now, I do have some questions about that. We'll delve more into that tomorrow, but a great day for Jaylen Brown. Give him a stock up. We continue to show you the money right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, where we go to Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. A 5-year, $262.5 million extension. Give Justin Herbert a stock up. And one more with the dinero. One more with the cash. One more with the moolah. Trayvon Diggs of the Cowboys agreed to a 5-year contract extension worth $97 million. According to Rapsheet, he becomes one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. Sources say he could get a max value of $104 million. Give a stock up to Jameis Winston. I mean, Trayvon Diggs. Jimmy Graham? He didn't play last year? And he's making a return to the Saints? Who dat? Who dat? Who dat say they're going to beat them Saints? Probably a lot of teams, but give a stock up to Jimmy Graham. Stock down to Saquon Barkley. Now, I know that that audio where he was saying that things may have to get ugly and maybe doesn't show up at all was before the July 17th date, but July 17th didn't go in his favor. And there's no reason to go to training camp. And it's not as if you got that big of an increase on your salary. It's the same base salary. You get $2 million up front. The franchise tag is fully guaranteed anyway, and they added in like an extra three incentives with $300,000 each that are all contingent on you making the playoffs and all individual stats as well. With how much talk there was about the running backs, it once again shows you there's really no leverage. Now, Josh Jacobs is going to wait probably till the end of training camp to show up or right before the start of the season. Maybe miss a game or two, I would think, right before the start of the season of week one. But Saquon Barkley, even though it's a good job from a team standpoint, in terms of him being a team player, I don't really see the purpose of him taking this deal right now. I would have waited, so stock down to Saquon Barkley. And finally, the NCAA. What are we doing? You want to suspend Jim Harbaugh for bleeping games because the guy bought a few cheeseburgers for some recruits and some other minor infractions? No, it's because he lied. Give me a break with how much they cover up, those hypocrites of the NCAA. This is what they're going to try to fight. I remember a few years ago, I went off on the NBA for selective tampering. This is selective punishment by the NCAA. and I don't like it. Don't like it whatsoever. So give a stock down to those frauds, those hypocrites, those losers at the NCAA. Alrighty, that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Ike Reese for joining us. And Hickey, I thought we had fun eating a hamburger for one Jim Harbaugh, where I devoured that bad boy, that 8-ounce burger, in 1 minute and 11 seconds. We'll be back tomorrow. Justin Herbert got paid, so we'll talk to a man that protects Justin Herbert. Zion Johnson is going to be joining us. And then we also have Tracy McGrady, T-Mac, gracing us with his presence on CBS Sports Radio. So a whole lot to do on a very busy Wednesday on CBS Sports Radio, and you never know what other surprises are going to pop on up. All right, talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. Peace.